Shout. 在silent in the grave.
Lie silent in the grave.
When I
silent
in the grave. Lie silent in the grave.
Seeing us through, Lord, for many, Lord God, had not made it to their homes.
Hallelujah.
But we thank you for your grace that has kept us this far. Father, Lord, we have been busy throughout the week. We've been here and there through work. But Lord, we looked forward to this evening, Lord God, to sit at your feet to hear from you. Father, Lord, to put our petitions before you. For Lord, we have no other God but thee. No one, Lord God, can answer us. So we look unto you, O Lord. Father, bless those who are already here.
Amen.
Bless those who are, on, Lord God, on their way. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you prepare our hearts, Lord God. Let us, Father, forget about our worries. Let us cast our burdens upon thee. For, Lord, our burdens, Lord God, you say, Lord God, we should, for you, our burdens are light, is light. Father, we pray, Lord God, and pardon your minister that's waiting upon you. Father, Lord, when he stands here, Father, we know, Lord God, we're under preparation that we will hear from thee.
Amen.
We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Key D, please. Key D. Let's sing the love of God. Oh, the love of God is great and far.
but always the guilty pain.
The guilty pain.
Bow down with care.
Bow down with care.
God gave His Son, His only Son,
to me.
His every child. And pardon from home. Thank you for the love of God. Is the love of God our rich and pure, our measure, oh, our measureless. And it shall forever,
it shall forever,
it shall forever. The saints and angels.
When hoary in time,
when time
shall pass away,
shall pass away,
and earthly thrones,
and earthly thrones,
and kingdoms fall.
Saints and angels song. Oh dear. and inward hunger within my soul. There is the grace that is worth. Oh, there's a deep and inward hunger, oh, within my soul. God has promised in His word, He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven it will make and bring to pass, that tremendous victory in the Lord divine. Now it's my time for consecration. Oh, see a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me.
Lord, I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Lord, I'm tired.
But I'm trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan.
Lord, I'm heading.
I see a vision breaking.
Oh,
I see it breaking.
Power that will
remember the third pool ministry.
Lord, keep thy holy fire.
Lord, keep thy
holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto thy image you behold.
Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation.
For it's the message in you and me that will bring to pass that tremendous victory.
Oh, we're tired.
I'm tired.
I am tired.
I see it breaking,
the power that will
bind and mumble the poor ministry.
Oh,
oh, a tired
power that will bind
and mumble the poor ministry.
Amen. Are you tired of that mountain?
Amen.
We're speaking about it on Wednesday. Time to break the cycle. Time to move north.
Amen.
You know, you don't want to just be living your life going round and round and getting nowhere. You know, we're too late in the day and we only get one opportunity at this. So thank you, Brother Jess. Thanks, Amen. Brother George. Let's open up Psalm 63, saints. Let's just read the first four verses. Brother Brian, good to see you. God bless you. God bless you. To those who don't know Brother Brian, Brother Brian's the brother who made all of these things for us. using his carpentry skills. So it's good to see Brother Brian. Amen. Psalm 63, the first four verses. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now it's really interesting, if you look at the very beginning, before verse 1, if you've got it in your Bible, it's the psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And it's a psalm from the wilderness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Quicken it unto us. Quicken us now unto prayer. And bless each and every one of your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's be seated. God bless you this evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house for prayer. On Wednesday, we started speaking about the family in the wilderness. We started looking at the different principles of how very easy it is for us to get into a wilderness. And started looking at what the conditions of being in the wilderness are. Because sometimes we don't realize, even with physical disease, ailment inside of your body, you can lose a lot of strength. You know, the symptoms can go very far, maybe inwardly, maybe not so much outwardly. And you then go to the doctor, and the doctor can diagnose the case that, hey, this has really gone quite far, but you didn't realize how far the disease had had its grip inside of your body because it was just a progressive thing. Amen. Just losing strength. But after a while, you start realizing that you can't do things that you used to be able to do. You know, and you start saying, I don't have the strength that I used to have. And there's always a cause for that. So much the same in the spiritual life. No, backsliding is not something that just happens overnight. It's a progressive thing. Amen. It's something you can steal in the soul of a person. It starts somewhere. There's a discouragement, a disappointment. Maybe there's too much, too busy, sickness, whatever comes. Something comes to knock you off course. And you don't recognize maybe early enough that you've got off course, that you're not following. You don't have the same focus. You don't have the same vision that you had in the beginning. You know, but you're still doing well. You still go to the house of the Lord. You still love His word. You still pray. But you're losing strength. Now you're losing something that you had. And most of the time we go quite a distance into the wilderness before we realize you've got off course. Now it's not something that you very easily pick up. And we looked on Wednesday at how this affects the family. Now, the prophet in the message, ever-present water from the rock, there's just two pages when he speaks about Israel in the wilderness. How Israel got, of course, but he uses certain terms that shows the characteristics of when you get in the wilderness. Israel, church Israel, got in the wilderness. So we as individuals can get in the wilderness. The family can get in the wilderness. So the prophet, he speaks of certain things, and he says, you know, if you had to bring it to the modern day, he says, you know, looking at Israel when they got themselves off course, he said, in the modern day, it would be, oh, every Wednesday night prayer meeting, every Sunday morning back to church. What do we hear? The same thing. The preacher just stands up and preach. We sing songs. We go on back. The prophet says, you see, you're just going as a line of duty. So one of the symptoms of being in the wilderness is when your worship starts becoming a duty. You know, you start losing the something that you had before. Going to church becomes a duty. Prayer meeting becomes a duty. Getting up in the morning to spend time with the Lord, you still do it, but it's become a duty now. Now the prophet says, you see, you're just going as a line of duty. You're not a worshiper. You know, so when you start getting in the wilderness, the great, great thing we need to overcome in the wilderness is not a friend to worship. And it's so very easy to lose the spirit of worship in the wilderness. That's why we read Psalm 63, because David was a man after God's own heart. And you find he's in the wilderness of Judah, and he's writing a psalm. You know, and he's lifting up his hands to the Lord and all that kind of stuff. So David shows us how to overcome these wilderness conditions. Because every single one of us, we go through the cycle of the wilderness. You know, I mean, if David is going in the wilderness of Judah, no, he's in the promised land. He hasn't backslid, but there's a wilderness in Judah. And you're going to have a look at all the people in the Bible that when Elijah was in the wilderness, The angel had to come and minister to him there. And you can go through all the people. Moses had to go and meet the Lord in the wilderness and so forth. So being in a wilderness, it's quite a natural thing as a believer. You know, you're going to be led. Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the wilderness is part of your experience, but you've got to be so careful how you approach the wilderness. And when you start recognizing that you're in the wilderness, you want to make sure you keep your spirit of worship in the wilderness. Because the wilderness, we'll see the prophet says, the terms he uses, you start losing your vision. That's what we spoke about on Wednesday, when the family has lost its vision. Now, when the family is just gathering together, eating meals together, you know, going to school, you coming to church, going home. But what is the vision of the, what is your goal? What are you aiming at? What are your the object of you being a family? What are you looking forward to as a family? What are you striving towards as a family? You know, what are the things that you're uniting together to fight against as a family? What are the things you're trying to achieve, to progress? That might just be simple things, but it's a dangerous thing when you lose the vision. Amen. Because the moment you lose the vision, you start getting aimless. And in the wilderness, we can very easily become aimless inside of our lives. That you looked to this week and last week and the week before and last month, and what's happened inside of your life? Has there been any progress? Has there been any, have you been strengthened in your walk? Has the Lord taken you further or deeper? And you really look back and see, but I've been doing a lot of things, but I've really just got nowhere. Yeah, and then we can do the same. We said on Wednesday as the family, we can bring ourselves together at the family altar and we can read the scriptures and we can say, okay, well, let's all pray. But we can get ourselves in a wilderness condition that those things become a duty. Those things become something because we know we need to do them, but they don't really have a virtue or benefit in them anymore the way that they used to. You know, we can see the conditions of the wilderness have started to encroach in now because it's not the wilderness out there that you need to worry about. You know, David was in the wilderness, but he knew the thing I need to guard here, I don't need this wilderness to get into my worship. Now, he's in a wilderness, he's in a dry and a thirsty place, but his soul is still thirsting for God. You know, and he's putting an earnestness behind his desire to seek the living God, that I might see thy power and thy glory as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. So David was determined inside of himself, I'm not going to give in to these conditions of the wilderness. Now, there were different times. He was chased into the wilderness by Saul for quite some time. But Psalm 63, probably the time of Absalom. He's fleeing from Absalom. He's already king. You know, so maybe he's made his mistakes and he finds himself now in a wilderness. But being a man after God's own heart, he's not going to give in to the conditions of the wilderness. He knows how easy it is at that kind of a time for the wilderness from without to start becoming a wilderness inside of your soul. You know, he says, no, I can't do that. I can't afford to do that inside of my walk because the situation that I'm in, the crisis that I'm in, it needs me to hear from him even more than I did before. I need him more than I did when I was in the palace. You know, so he realizes the seriousness of the time, the seriousness of the hour. And friends, that's an important thing, just that realization. No, to be honest with yourself, to look at yourself in the spiritual mirror and to see that I've lost ground. Now, I've fallen away. There's some little fox that has spoiled the vine here. Yeah, I'm not what I used to be. Yeah, something's going on here. You know, I don't have the same unity with people that I used to have before. I don't have unity in the home the way that I did. I don't pray. There's not something in my prayer life the way that it was before. Even my approach to the Word, when I'm reading the Word, it's not manna to me anymore. It's not that the Lord is communing with me in the Word. Yeah, I'm reading the Word, but it's not quite the same. And you know, you're coming into a wilderness. You're straying into the wilderness. And it just depends on how quickly we realize that and our approach like David. And the prophet saying it, but Israel didn't really handle it the right way. He says, the same way he says, why does he preach so long and all this stuff? He says, you're not in love. You know, he says, you find somebody, your mom wants you to go out with a certain boy. So she tells you, I've invited Jim to come around. He's coming to see you on Sunday after church. And you don't like Jim. You know, so you say, I don't want, and you'll be complaining and complaining. You said, then finally Jim comes, and you'll be looking at your watch saying, I just hope he doesn't stay here long. You know, you don't have any expectation. You don't have any desire to be together with Jim. And the prophet says that's the same way that it can get with one another. Amen. Then you start getting yourself in a wilderness condition in the Lord, because we can be the church in the wilderness just as much as we can be the family in the wilderness. Amen. But the thing that we saw on Wednesday was it's the responsibility of the husband. Each and every person in the family has a responsibility when you start seeing the families getting in the wilderness. When you start seeing the attitude in the house is negative, and you start seeing, but things aren't, you know, the way that they're supposed to be, every single person has the responsibility to start taking it to the Lord in prayer, but especially the father. The father has to get a new vision in the wilderness. Amen. And that's what David's doing here. He says, the conditions have changed inside of my life. I need a fresh vision from the Lord. I need fresh instructions from the Lord here. I need fresh communion from the Lord because my conditions have changed. You know, and I think that is the most important thing. And then once the father now starts inside of himself, getting serious like David here in Psalm 63, to start seeking the Lord for fresh inspiration, for fresh vision, that's when the family altar becomes something beneficial again, because the father's now coming to impart a fresh vision to the family. He's giving fresh vision. The family is starting to say, okay, so there's a hope for us to get out of this condition. That doesn't have to be like this. In whatever that it is, financially, whatever, all these different things we can go through, as we said on Wednesday. But no, that private altar, yeah, feeding that private altar and getting the flame burning again in the private altar is the important part of then bringing the fire to the family altar. Yeah, that's really, really the key to it. Now, if that is the natural family, what about the spiritual family? Because we are the family of God. No, friends, we as church, we can get into the wilderness as well. Yeah, and because the prophet's speaking about it here. If you listen to that message, ever present water from the rock, you know, it's very interesting why he preached that message if you listen to it at the beginning. But he speaks of all these different characteristics that people have inside of their lives. Yeah, when they got into the wilderness like Israel. But you think of Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were in the same wilderness as the rest of the children of Israel. But they were determined not to give in to the conditions of that wilderness. No, they were determined, no, okay, doesn't matter about the prevailing conditions. There's a certain spirit and a certain condition that we desire to be in, that we might maintain our worship before the Lord. You know, you never find Caleb complaining that it became a burden or it was becoming boring. Or, you know, you never find him complaining about the manna or about Moses or about the Lord. But so many people did. Amen. It was so easy to give in to the conditions of the wilderness, because wildernesses are very dangerous places. Because you'll find one thing about a wilderness, it's a very lonely place. Amen. Now, you can be in a group of people. You can go to church, but you're still lonely spiritually inside of yourself. Now, you don't seem to have any fellowship. You don't seem to feel accepted. You don't seem to have that fellowship with the Lord that you once had. It's not a nice place to be. And a wilderness is a place where there's no water. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why there's no life. Nothing grows in a wilderness. A wilderness is something, and once you get into it, you want to get out of there as quickly as you possibly can. And if the Lord leads you into wilderness, you want to achieve the purpose that he led you there for as quickly as you can, so you can get out of there as quickly as you can. Because the conditions outwardly in a wilderness are not conducive to worship. They're not conducive to bringing forth fruit. You know, it's like a barren place. Things don't grow. If things grow, they have thorns on them. It's like it's a hostile environment. It's not a nice place to be in a wilderness. So David in Psalm 63, he says it. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So he finds himself in the wilderness. Now the good thing about David is he realized there's no virtue in delay. There's no virtue in putting off the key decisions of life until tomorrow. So what does he say to the Lord? He says, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." Amen. Now that's a real, real key, friends. As quickly as you recognize that you're getting into wilderness, as quickly as you realize your family is getting into wilderness, or as quickly as you realize whatever, you know, condition, there's a wilderness condition in any part of your life, You need to be like David, a man after God's own heart. He quickly saw the dangers of the wilderness and he said, Lord, I need to seek you early. I need to seek you early. Now, that means getting up early in the morning, yes, but it doesn't only mean that. It means he started seeking the Lord early in that wilderness cycle. He said, Lord, I need to seek you quickly. I don't need the cycle to go too far. That it becomes a disaster. Then I come and I try to seek you so we can sort out all the problems which you've created in the wilderness. But as soon as he realizes in the wilderness that the conditions in his life had changed, that he couldn't just use the method that he was using before when he was in Jerusalem. No, things had changed. This was a crisis now. He needed to be very, very careful in the decisions that he made now in the wilderness. He knew, I need a fresh conference with God. I need fresh instructions now as to what am I supposed to do here? Because I don't want this to become potentially what it can become. Because that's what it became to the children of Israel. And so many of them perished in the wilderness. And friends, the wilderness is a place of temptation as well. You know, because if you're not careful, the conditions in the wilderness, you're not having very much good fellowship with the saints, not having such good fellowship with the Lord, so the devil comes and offers you the world. He comes and offers you this boy, this girl, and all those kind of things. And because you're not finding that, in a sense, that excitement, that something that you had before, and that things are becoming dry, it becomes the temptation in the wilderness. Amen. And Satan comes to offer you things now. Yeah, and that's why the Lord, why does the Lord allow us to go through these kind of times? Yeah. Because he wants us to be like David. He says, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Amen. Yeah, maybe the Lord looked at him when he was doing well as king in the palace. The Lord was saying, David, you're losing some of your passion for me. You're losing some of your desire for me. David, you know, things maybe are just going too easy for you. You need a time in the wilderness. And David now gets into the wilderness and it's dry and it's not a nice condition. You know, and he doesn't feel at home in the wilderness. And the thing he doesn't want to get in a situation that he'll ever feel at home there. He says, Lord, let me never get accustomed to this condition. He says, Lord, I'm going to seek you early because the conditions of this place have made my soul thirsty for you. Amen. Oh, friends, that's a real, real healthy condition of somebody. And should that not be the way that it is with us as fathers in the home? When you start seeing maybe worldliness coming in, or you start seeing disunity coming in, or you start seeing negativity coming in, that you start thirsting for the Lord. Just say, Lord, this cannot satisfy the souls of your children. This kind of an atmosphere, this kind of an attitude, it can never be satisfying to my soul. And then David knew, Lord, there's only one thing that can satisfy my soul, and that's you. Yeah. And David had a real revelation of that. So he says, my soul thirsts for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He looks out there and says, Lord, I don't want my soul to become the same as the outward place where I am. I don't want this dry and thirsty land to become into my soul, that my soul becomes dry like that. He said, Lord, I'm thirsting for you. I'm going to seek you early. I'm going to seek you till I find you. Yeah, and what does he say in verse 2? To see thy power and thy glory, as I've seen you in the sanctuary. He says, Lord, I, before it was so wonderful to go into your house. It was so wonderful to sing the songs of Zion. It was so wonderful to fellowship with the saints. Lord, that's been taken away from me. Now I find myself, I'm in a wilderness. He says, but Lord, one thing I realize is that you are not just the God of church. You're not just the God who's in the sanctuary. It says, where I am here, I'm in the wilderness, Lord, and I'm thirsting to see your power and glory here now, just the same as I saw you in the sanctuary. No, he realized that God is not governed by how many people gather together or where we gather. God is going to meet a thirsty soul when your soul gets thirsty. And that's why the Lord allows these wildernesses to come, so that you will seek him, because we're thirsty. And you'll start looking and saying, but Lord, when's the last time I saw your power and your glory in my soul? When is the last time you revealed your power and glory to me inside of your word? Yeah, and then as a father, you'll say, Lord, when's the last time we saw your power and glory in the family altar? When's the last time we saw your power and glory manifest itself? So that's fine, Lord. We love to put on the messages and hear of your power and glory in the prayer lines. We love to put on the messages and hear the power and glory in the revelation of the word. We love to hear the testimonies of other believers speaking of your power and glory. But Lord, I'm in a condition here now that I need you now. I need you as a present tense, Lord. I'm in a wilderness. This is a dry and it's a thirsty land, Lord. And my soul is thirsting for you, that I might see your power and glory the same way that I've seen you in this sanctuary. Lord, I need you now to be present tense in my current difficult condition. Just the same as when things are going well, how I rejoiced in your power and glory when I saw you in the sanctuary. Friends, you know, the more that I read the Psalms, the more I really understand why David was a man after God's own heart. I'll say it, when I was a young believer, I so underestimated David. Because the only thing you'd ever hear people preach about David was that Bathsheba. You know, that's not it. I mean, that was his mistake he made. But David and his mighty men. David and his exploits. You go and see them. And David now and his psalms. How a man can write a psalm like this while he's in the wilderness. You know, what do we generally do when we get in the wilderness? You know, our prayer life suffers. We stop testifying to people. Sometimes we stop coming to church. But David, when he finds himself in that wilderness condition, it brings out the genuineness inside of the man. There's an earnestness inside of him. He's like determined to say, no, Lord, you've allowed me to be in this wilderness, but I'm not going to allow this wilderness to overcome me. Because, Lord, I don't want to be in this wilderness cycle inside of myself. I want to see your power and your glory the way that I saw you in the sanctuary. And then he says, why do I want to see this, Lord? Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. He says, Lord, your presence one day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Amen. Is it just to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. He says, Lord, I look at these people and their lives. He says, I look at these people out here in the wilderness. There's some of these people chasing after this, some of these people chasing after that. He says, Lord, I'm not interested in those things. What I'm interested in is in you. Because your loving kindness. He compared now the life people were living in the wilderness. And he compared it with the divine life. With the Zoe life that he'd experienced in the sanctuary. The Zoe life that he'd experienced inside of his life in days gone by. And he said, Lord, I don't mind if you leave me in this wilderness as long as I can partake of your Zoe life. Amen. As long as your divine life is fellowshipping with me inside of my soul, it's not a wilderness to me anymore. It's like John on Patmos. It wasn't a prison anymore to John once he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It wasn't a wilderness. He had a glorious time in the wilderness. And some of David's greatest psalms were written in his wilderness experiences. Amen. Go and read 3 psalms he wrote in the cave of Adullam. And you find that's God's word. God was speaking his word through this man, but outwardly the conditions were dry. Amen. The conditions were hard. Amen. And even inside of himself, he's thirsty. Amen. You know, he's saying, Lord, I haven't yet found your glory and as I saw in the sanctuary in my condition yet. But Lord, one thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to stop seeking. Amen. I'm going to seek you early, Lord. Amen. And if you keep reading Psalm 63, it says, and I'm going to meditate on you in the night watches. Amen. He says, when the others, you and the soldiers are taking guard, maybe in the night you'd hear the changing of the night. You know, the guards, and they would, you know, one would come and take her, then you'd hear to wake him up. And that's okay, Lord, you've woken me up. Lord, I'm seeking for your power and glory. Amen. Lord, I'm seeking for a fresh communion with you. Amen. Lord, I need a fresh visitation now. Amen. Lord, I need fresh instructions now. Lord, I need a conference with you in the wilderness. Because I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to do next. While I was in Jerusalem, while I was in the palace, I knew what I was supposed to do each day. But Lord, you've allowed me to come into this barren land now. You've allowed me to come into this crisis, Lord. You put the souls of people in my hands. Because David was together in the wilderness with his men. He says, Lord, I'm in this kind of a situation, Lord. I don't want to presume at a time like this. Lord, I need to hear from you. Amen. That's why my soul thirsts for you, Lord, to see your power and your glory as I've seen you in the sanctuary. It's because, Lord, people will say, David, you king, and all is good. I said, no, That's just natural life. Yes. His loving kindness is better than life. Amen. David has shown there's two categories of life. There's your natural life that you're born with, natural life that people live. But there's that life that you can spend in Christ. Amen. There's life when you spend, you have communion with Him. And there's another, it's a total different level of life now. Amen. There's a fruitfulness in that life. Amen. There's a vision and a purpose in that life. Amen. There's a quickening power in that life. There's rest and peace in that life. You fulfill your purpose and your destiny in that life. Amen. You find yourself in that life. Amen. That's why it says, Lord, your loving kindness is better than life. Amen. He says, oh, Lord, I'm in a wilderness here, Lord, but all I want is your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't want to just live this like the rest of the people giving into the conditions of the wilderness. Amen. Lord, I wasn't born to give into the conditions of the wilderness. Amen. You've allowed my footsteps to, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Yeah. Lord, you've allowed my footsteps to go through this wilderness for a season. But Lord, I need to hear from you how so I can quickly get out of this wilderness. What is it you're trying to teach me in the wilderness, Lord? What are you trying to say to me in this dry and this barren land? Because you put me in a dry place. Why? So that I will seek you. So that the thirst will rise up inside of me. Lord, you're wanting to speak to me. You're wanting to show me something. That's why you've brought me into this dry and barren patch. But Lord, I can never be satisfied without your loving kindness. Without your glory. Without your power. Lord, without fresh communion. You know, the prophet in those conference with God messages. They're such powerful messages. When he says that's what people do in a crisis, he said, I was listening to the life story of Winston Churchill the last few weeks, an audiobook. It was very good. And how they called all the big conferences, the Casablanca conference and all that during the Second World War. And they got Stalin and Roosevelt and Churchill and them, and they got themselves together to discuss where things were. At times of crisis, when the Germans were sinking their ships with the submarines, so most of the ships were being sunk bringing supplies, they need to get together and have a conference. And the prophet says they would find an inspiring place, a place where there's an inspiration, where you get those rulers away from all the confusion of the responsibilities they had, and you get them shut in for a season because it's a time of crisis. And you have a conference, and they put their ideas together, and they come up with a solution, and they come from there with a one accord, and they know what it is that needs to be done. Amen. He says, how much more a conference with God? Amen. And that's what David was saying in the wilderness. He said, Lord, I can't go for long here without a conference with you, because my soul is thirsting for you. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. Amen. Then he continues on, and look what he's doing in the wilderness. He says, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You're in a dry and a thirsty place. You're thirsting for God, but you're not going to allow it to affect your worship. You say, Lord, it doesn't matter my outward condition. You still deserve the worship. You still deserve the honor. You still deserve the glory. You still deserve me to raise my hands. Look what he says there at the end of verse 3. He says, because thy loving kindness has been like my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Friends, it's so easy for us when we get in the wilderness, we don't put up our hands in church. We don't even sing after a while. You know, we're just thinking of our problems in the wilderness. But David was a man after God's own heart. He was determined to say, no, this is a cycle that's begun, and this is a cycle that's going to end, and I'm not going to allow this cycle to govern my worship. I'm not going to allow this wilderness to govern my worship. But instead, what this wilderness is going to do, it's going to make me seek Him more earnestly. I'm so thirsty in this wilderness. Friends, don't you feel like that many times? And God puts you in those kind of a conditions. The prophet speaks of it in What House Will You Build Me? How God takes His men and sends them to the backside of the desert. And the prophet says, I don't understand why God sent me from being then Jeffersonville with my church and all that. Send me to a place like Tucson. He said, it's hot and it's dry. And he said, it's spiritually dead, this place. Go and listen to the message. He says, and people, when they come here, he says, you start seeing they lose something inside of their spiritual life. He says, but God has to bring a man to a condition like this so that he'll start to thirst for God. You know, so God has to put you in that kind of a situation so that you get your, you know, the earnestness inside of your soul once again. Because when everything's going well, friends, it's not that easy to be really desperate before the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't seek Him with all of our heart, so He puts you in that wilderness condition. And the conditions are all around you. David's in danger here. Absalom's coming after him. Ahithophel is the counselor, has left him and has joined Absalom's side. This danger, he doesn't know what tomorrow holds. He just knows, I've got to make the right decisions for me and my people. I don't want to lead my people astray on down the wrong path in this wilderness. So he says, Lord, I need to seek you early. And Lord, if I don't seek you early, I'm going to seek you in the night watches. He says, because Lord, I need your power. I need your glory. I need you to speak to me, Lord. I need you to show me the way. Because friends, when you get in the wilderness, like I say, it quickly dims the vision if you're not careful. You start losing the vision. You start losing enthusiasm. Go around the mountain a few times and you start just getting in a routine saying, well, maybe this is just the way that it's got to be. No, but you need to break that cycle. Amen. So to break the cycle, you need to hear from God. Amen. And you need to understand, Lord, why have you led me into this wilderness? What am I supposed to learn in this wilderness? What is the purpose of this wilderness? And then once you learn the lesson of the wilderness, there's no more need for the wilderness anymore. Amen. Then God takes you out from there because it's imparted in your spiritual experience that which the wilderness alone can impart inside Amen. Of you. Because the wilderness brings something out in a genuine believer. But you look at Israel in the wilderness. The vast majority of them perished in the wilderness. Because they just gave in to the conditions. They lost the vision and then they just started complaining with each other and murmuring and let's go back to Egypt. Friends, we don't want those kind of conditions. We don't need that. When you start seeing in your family that things are going astray, that things aren't the way that they're supposed to do. Friends, if you're a man after God's Amen. Own heart, especially as a father, you start seeking God early. Amen. You start saying, Lord, I need your power. I need your glory. Lord, I need fresh instructions from above. Lord, I need a fresh visitation. Lord, we need fresh inspiration here. No, we need fresh battle orders. We need to know, what is it, Lord, that you're expecting of us? Why have you allowed us to come into this wilderness? What is it you're trying to teach us? And the Lord will be trying to, he'll be putting you in that condition to bring out that earnestness inside of you. To bring out the something inside of the seed that will never be satisfied until it's in fellowship once again with God. God wants that expression inside of you. Now as you come to pray, David, what did he do in the wilderness? He never just continued using the old psalms that he had before. And so like I'm in the wilderness, let me see if I can find a psalm to sing to the Lord. No, he wanted something fresh. He wanted something real. He wanted his worship to match the condition that he was in. And that's why he writes a psalm in the wilderness. Friends, he says, look, the worship, when I come before the Lord, even in this wilderness, I'm going to pour out my soul. I'm going to speak to the Lord about my thirst. I'm going to speak to the Lord about how much I desire his glory. I'm going to speak to the Lord of how wonderful his loving kindness is. Yeah, and you go and read the Psalms. So, now, friends, when you're in the wilderness, you need something fresh. You know, you need something which has got, you know, something that's going to match the conditions that you're facing up to. Amen. And sometimes we go for quite some time, and we don't realize that. We still try to use the tactics from yesterday in today's battle, and you find it doesn't work. Because friends, as a believer, when you get yourself in a wilderness, there's a great host that's against you. There's a great host encamped against you. There's Satan, friends, he loves the wilderness. Amen. Look what he did to Israel in the wilderness. Look what he tried to do to Jesus in the wilderness. He loves the wilderness. But God wants the wilderness to bring us to a place like Moses. Yeah, we've tried everything ourselves. We make our own decisions that leads us into the wilderness. And then you try to settle down in the wilderness and say, okay, let me forget about the things of God here. Let me make my business, raise my sheep, sell my wool. Whatever Moses was doing for those years. But all the time inside of there, there was a seed. All the time inside of there was something that was seeking an expression. And after a while, I'm sure those days leading up to the burning bush, God was stirring something up inside of Moses. And Moses had such a thirst inside of his soul. He started to think back to what his mother had told him about his youth and his call. And he started to think about God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whatever God, because God always prepares you, friends. Amen. And then finally in the wilderness, to bring an end to the wilderness cycle, what was required was a fresh burning bush experience. Amen. He needed to get fresh. That's what broke him out of that cycle. That 40-year cycle of just going to work, come back. Go to work, come back. Go and play with the children at home in the tent. Go the next day, take the sheep back. For 40 years, he went around and around in a cycle in the wilderness. And all that time, the work of God went undone. All that time, the taskmasters were lashing the children of Israel. The blood was mixing with the mud. Oh, friends, it was a hard thing. That man could not have been satisfied inside of his soul for a single hour out there in the wilderness, because he wasn't ordained for that. But he should have sought the Lord early, maybe, like David, but he didn't. He allowed the wilderness cycle to go on for a long time before he met God in a burning bush. And God now turned him around. And God came and gave him such a fresh vision now. When he came from the burning bush, he knew exactly what needed to be done. He knew who he was. He knew what he was raised up for. He knew exactly what God wanted said to the people. Amen. He knew if the opposition's going to come, he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Throw down his rod, put his hand in his bosom. You know, God had given him everything, a fresh vision. The prophet says, once he met the burning bush, try to keep him from Egypt now. Now he has an initiative. Now he has momentum. Now there's a quickening power once again in his walk and in his experience. Oh, friends, and that's what David was. David was looking, saying, Lord, I don't want to lose what I've got. I don't want to lose the desire that I have for you. I don't want to lose the worship that I have for you. But the conditions that he had, Lord, it's not easy. I need you to help me here. I need you to navigate me through this wilderness. Friends, how did the wilderness experience finish for Elijah? When he went down under the juniper trees, lost the vision, he's discouraged. 40 days and nights, he goes down to Horeb, to Mount Sinai. The Lord has to come and speak to him there. And he comes in a whirlwind, and then he comes in an earthquake and all that. But God wasn't in those things. Then God spoke to him in a still small voice. Amen. And God gave him a fresh commission once again and said, go and anoint Elisha. Go and anoint Hazael, king of Syria. He told him exactly what it was that he was supposed to do. God turned him around and gave him a fresh vision while he was there in the wilderness. Go and look at the Bible, other people. The last one, have a look at Hagar. When she was sent out into the wilderness now with her little boy. And she came to such a dry place that she put, what's the boy's name? Ishmael. She puts Ishmael there. To perish, to die. She doesn't want to see her son dying. And inside of her heart, she must have been crying out to the Lord. And then the angel of the Lord came to her there in the wilderness and showed her a certain well. That there was life, there was living waters in the wilderness. Came and showed her where life was. And she went and drank, and she gave the name of that well, Bihar Haroi, whatever that it was called. But God came and met her in the wilderness. The wilderness became a place of springs. It became a place where she met the angel of the Lord. It became a place where she realized, but he loves me in a way that I never realized that he loved me. I thought I was an outcast being cast out, but I wasn't. I'm precious in the eyes of God. He has good thoughts for me. He has good thoughts for my son. He's going to raise up kingdoms through this young boy. That's what happened to him in the wilderness. Friends, while we're in the wilderness, never lose the spirit of worship. Don't lose the spirit of worship. That's the most important thing. You know, don't ever allow that to come in. Amen. Don't allow your hands just to go down and say, I'm just discouraged by these things. You know, it's been going on for, don't do that. Amen. Be like David. Be like the saints of old. You know, Hannah, like we said the other day, going round and around and the problems in the family. No, and she would come and go every single time, come to church, go back and still crying, things aren't changing. Until that day she came with a thirst inside of her soul. She said, Lord, I've been to your sanctuary many times, but today I want to see your power and your glory. Yeah, I want you to be real to me. I want you to show me, Lord, if you will come and minister to my approach, take the reproach away from me, and you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. And she came, and friends, what a change that day was. So in the home when our family is in the wilderness? Friends, how can we judge the condition of the home? By the condition of the family altar. And church, the condition in church, how do we judge the condition of the family? By the prayer meeting.
Amen.
Friend, that is the honest truth.
Amen.
If you really want to see, and how are you going to judge yourself where you are in your Christian, have a look at your prayer life.
Yes,
have a look at your worship.
Amen.
Even in the wilderness, what is coming forth from you? You know, is there something fresh coming? Are you still using that situation like David to bring forth something that's pleasing to the Lord that he's going to put it inside of his book of Psalm 63? Oh, we like the children of Israel. The prophet says God got discouraged with the people and the people got discouraged with God. Friend, I never want to be in that condition.
Amen.
You know, when my flesh starts to speak in the midst of our wildernesses and the difficult times you go through, no, don't listen to the flesh. No, he says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart.
Amen.
Now let that genuine something rise up once again. And as we come to prayer this evening, speak what's inside of your soul. That's all David did. He was honest before the Lord. He said, Lord, my soul is thirsty for you.
Amen.
Lord, I need your power. I need your glory.
Amen.
I need to see you once again the way that I saw you in this sanctuary.
Amen.
Said, Lord, because this isn't life to me the way that it is. It's only your loving kindness that really turns this into life. And Lord, I want to bless you every day that I live. I want to lift up my hands in your name. And friends, when you start now facing up to the wilderness in that kind of a way, with that earnestness now, just, okay, the wilderness isn't going to govern me. Yeah, I'm going to govern this wilderness. This wilderness isn't going to govern the way that I worship.
Amen.
The way that I worship is independent of these things.
Amen.
Like Job, that you can strip yourself, shave your head, come to the altar, say, the Lord has taken, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, have you and I ever been in a wilderness like Job? Amen. Spiritually speaking like that, we haven't. But there still came a worship from that man. Oh, friends, I really do believe that's why the prayer meeting is such an important thing. Because if the family that prays together stays together, what about the church?
Amen.
You know, this is where things change.
Amen.
This is where fresh vision comes forth.
Amen.
This is where fresh anointing comes forth. This is where we can touch the Lord now, and Sunday can be a completely different day than it was going to be.
Amen.
You know, because this is the family altar.
Amen.
We're gathering at the family altar now as the family of God. And we've come with a one accord. We've come with a one aim. We want the family to prosper. Now we want the Lord to give our family a fresh vision, fresh revelation, fresh leadership. We want the Lord to bless the activities of our family camp. And Brother Alex coming this weekend, Brother Barry and Brother Paul LaFontaine in 2 weeks' time. Friends, we really want the Lord to bless these kind of things. And that's going to need us to have a thirst for the Lord. To come before the Lord today to say, Lord, we're thirsty for you. Lord, we thank you for what we've seen. We thank you for what we've heard. But we know your power and glory is far greater than we've ever seen. Can't you come and visit us with a deeper glory? Oh, friends. And the prophet says, no one who ever comes thirsty will go away thirsty. Because he meets the hungry soul. The Bible says God satisfies the hungry soul. So friends, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's stand this evening. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Whatever our condition, let's come to seek his face. Let's come to wait upon him. Let's ask the Brother Jesus to lead us in one chorus. And we come before the Lord.
Oh,
For Congo for the month of July. We want to pray the Lord's blessing on their journey. Let's continue to pray for Brother Wilmore, just to fully restore him once again. And let's pray for Sunday service with Brother Alex O'Kenny, that the Lord will bless our service in a special way. Pray for the Sunday school, pray for the Sunday school teachers, pray for the musicians and the worship. Then let's not forget to pray for Brother Barry Coffey, Brother Paul LaFontaine coming in a couple of weeks' time. That the Lord would really visit us as he sends his servants our way. And then our youth camp, 24th, 20th of July. We're really looking to the Lord. Let's pray for the ministers, for the Lord to anoint them. Pray for the young people. Pray for the Lord to stir up the souls of young people. Some may that are in the valley of decision, even not decided yet to come. May the Lord quicken them so that we can gather together under him. For his glory. And whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, whatever other needs you know of, let's put these things before the Lord. Oh, Father, I want to come unto thee, Lord, upon this day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's just sing one song of worship here, saints, and then we'll ask Brother Greg to come and put these things before the Lord. Let's not forget to pray for the weddings coming up for the saints that are wedding. Let's never forget those things, saints. Our brother Nat Mago, may the Lord bless the arrangements, bless the wedding. And Brother Kwame, let's not forget, let's keep praying for these things, that the Lord would hasten things so that everything is a blessing on the big day. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one song there and then we'll ask Brother Greg.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after you. Oh, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
To thank you for another Friday, another family altar that we could have here in your house, Lord, because it's something that we all needed, all need to be straightened up. Sometimes maybe our children might be misbehave here and there, or maybe they need encouragement, Lord. That's why we gather here, that you could speak to us using your servant exactly what we need to hear at the time, Lord. You have something prepared for us, even for this Sunday and a few Sundays away. You have something for us every Sunday, but as this special meetings coming up, Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive, Lord. Not prepare our ears, that ears will not be blocked ears. Unblock our ears and unblock our hearts, and prepare our minds, Lord, that we will come with the right attitude for those meetings. We pray for precious brother Alex, how much we love him and appreciate him, and we thank him for his effort, and we thank you, Lord, that you put on the hearts of your servants. Amen. To arrange those meetings, even those meetings, Lord Jesus, we pray for this Sunday, Lord. As the two Sundays away, we will see Brother Barakafi, which we love and appreciate very much, Lord, but we love him and we love you in him, Lord. Brother LaFontaine never, I think, have a chance to come here, Lord. We pray for him, Lord, that whatever you put on their hearts, Lord Jesus, that will be exactly what we need without them even knowing, Lord, because we know it's you who speak to us, oh Lord. So we pray for those meetings, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Brother Elias going with his family. In the past times, we heard the good testimonies, but we heard as well things that they will try to stop and block, Lord Jesus. Those trips are not cheap. So, Lord, please, from beginning to the end, let us trip arrangements, airport trips, transfers, everything, Lord, that will work for your glory, Lord Jesus. You lead them, and you, Lord Jesus, bring them safely to us because we love them and we need them back, oh Lord. So, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for Brother Wilmo, Lord, as you did a miracle in his life, Lord Jesus. We didn't even have a shadow of doubt, Lord, that you will do it, Lord Jesus, and you did it. We're so grateful to you, and this was quite heavy, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you will bring him safely and restrain him, and all these healing wounds, whatever that is, Lord, that all will be well, that will see him, even on this Sunday, which I know that he desired to be with all his heart. Lord, we pray for all these weddings, Lord. We know that could be stressful, could be pricey, could be costly, a lot of things could go wrong. But the couple, Lord Jesus, they don't need stress. They need to kind of enjoy the time, that moment. But many times the couple is stressed out more than they can enjoy. But Lord, please, all this and the two weddings coming up, please, Lord Jesus, bless them, Lord Jesus, and the fruits of this marriage and of love, Lord. Bless the young ones still to come, and the young ones that we have in our midst, Lord, that you fill them with your spirit, that they will be an example for those ones to come if it's a still time, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for the youth meetings, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, it's a very good thing, Lord Jesus, to gather for the young people, Lord Jesus. Those ones, they might not have the finances to pay for it, Lord. Please supply the money just from somewhere, Lord, because you can do it, oh Lord Jesus. Put on somebody's heart that they will pay for this and for that, Lord Jesus, because we don't want that opportunity for them to just went past over their heads just because of the money or because of this and that, Lord Jesus. Help whoever's supposed to be there, Lord, that they will be there, Lord Jesus. Put on their hearts, quicken them, Lord, as the time, Lord Jesus, running away. If we wait long, if they wait too long, Lord, that might not happen to them. So please, Lord Jesus, we won't see them, Lord, because it's for them, oh Lord. So we pray for every single one of them, oh Lord. And Lord Jesus, as we want to pray, Lord Jesus, for the evangelism as well. It's a busy schedule, Lord, and we try to arrange this, try to arrange that, but there are people on the streets walking and dying every day, Lord. So, Lord, please quicken our hearts, Lord Jesus. Quicken our foot, our hands, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we might not know with what we go, but Lord, let us look around and take what we have. What's in our hand, Lord Jesus, and send us with this. Even if it's something small, doesn't have to be a big mission or action, Lord. Help us to do anything for those people, Lord Jesus, because we're not doing this for ourselves, Lord. We're doing for your kingdom and for your glory. So you lead us where to go and what to do. But Lord Jesus, you have your way, you have your plan, and help us, Lord, not to have our plan, because that'll be a disaster. So Lord Jesus, help us to yield ourselves. Prepare us, oh Lord, as we try to do what we can do with what we have. Lord, we don't want to forget the building, Lord Jesus. Lord, there are people still to come. We can't see them, Lord, but there are still people out there that they will enter this church, Lord Jesus, that we don't know yet, Lord. I believe it with all my heart. There are many more people to come, but we need space for them, oh Lord Jesus. So please, Lord Jesus, help us to find a building that will fit more than we need, that the people from other countries will come from the convention to Dublin or wherever that might be, oh Lord Jesus. So we pray for that building. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us, those online, those ones who couldn't come, that you bless us all as we depart, Lord Jesus. Bless our cars, our tires, our focus, other people that might go beside us or behind us, oh Lord Jesus, because David don't, he's not happy about those Friday meetings, oh Lord. So please, Lord Jesus, help us to come back safely home to our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother. God bless, brother. Amen. Just to say, saints, that I asked Brother John to adjust the registration app for the youth so that people can pay a deposit. Because quite a lot of families had contacted me to say, our children, we want them to come, but we're just trying to save up money. So I meant to say to Brother Wilmo, sorry, Brother Will, I didn't get you before announcing this. So you can go onto the app now and you can put €100 deposit and you can book a place. So I think it's just going to help us. It also helps us to understand how many people are coming from Dublin and different places. Otherwise, we get to the last week sometimes and there's a deluge of people who pay and we don't want to get caught with no place at that time. So you can get onto the app now. You can book using just €100 deposit. So thanks to the brothers for doing that. Also, evangelism. Brad Greg's always praying about it. It's a good thing. Now, saints, during the summer, why not the saints that have an evangelistic tendency after church just get down to the shopping center, give out some tracts? You know, it doesn't have to be a majority, doesn't have to be an official thing that we do. Like Brother Greg said, there's too many things taking place. But even on a Friday before service, you know, just to give out some tracts around here, whatever. May the Lord lead and guide the brothers that have that calling. And just use them in simplicity. You know, we see that God already blessed them in that way. So have a good journey home, saints. Wonderful to be with you. Meet you on Sunday by the grace of God. Let's sing one as we dismiss.